I have seen him do thing after thing after thing for me. And so the more excited I'd get, the more I'd say to Sid, and you know what, and this and that. I said, you know what, you need to share this at communion. And he goes, I think you're going to share that at communion. I said, I guess I am. So when you know God wants you to do something, I guess you don't argue. So anyway, we're going to have our communion this morning. And when I thought about having communion, I thought, you know, where does it all start? It starts in having a relationship with God. The two ways that we get to know God is through prayer and through His Word. And through prayer and through His Word, we get to see how much He really loves us. But we have to take time to talk to Him, just like I'm talking to you. It's just been so cool because I've really been working at it. You know, just, hey, Father, what about this? What about that? That's what prayer is. It's just sharing your heart with Him. It's not any formula, anything, you know, oh, dear Father. He knows who He is. We don't have to tell Him who He is. It's just now in a setting like this. But in our day-to-day, talking with Him is just like, hey, God, I need this. How about that? And it's so cool because the more I've done it, it's like, okay, here you go. Something that's really not that significant. Last week, Sid got up, and it was like, I don't know, 4 o'clock in the morning, and I noticed that I could sense he wasn't there. You know, when you sleep with somebody for 36 years, you know when they're not there. So I opened my eyes, and sure enough, he was gone. And I sat there, and I went, okay, I am tired. Do I have to go down and check on him, make sure he's okay? And he said, no, just go back to sleep. I was like, cool. I went right back to sleep. I thought, why, you know, it's as simple as that. Why would he withhold information from me? No, you need to go downstairs and you got to make sure. No, I asked. He said, here you go. Because a relationship with God is a two-way street. I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 29. Not only do we talk to him, but he talks back. In verse 12, it says, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. When we go to God and we call upon him and we talk to him, he listens. Verse 13, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all of your heart. See, it's a heart thing. And so what could be more important in the morning, first thing when you open your eyes, than God? One of the wonderful things that Sid does that blesses me so much is he gets up before me always. And unless I get a hot flash. But anyway, he gets up and I hear him. He sits on the edge of the bed and he prays before his feet even touch the floor. I thought, man, what a great thing. And so I try to develop that where as soon as my first waking moment, it's God. Whoa. You know, all the stuff that's going to hit you through the day, you got to prepare. It's God first. It's like, wow, God, you're with me. You know what? Today I want to do this, this, and this, but I need you to help me with that. And it's just having that conversation and developing and then knowing that he hears. It's not like, and you know, when we pray to God, we're the most important thing to him. It's not like, okay, God, I'm calling upon your name. Oh, wait, hold on. Because Ann over here, oh, she's got a list as long as my arm. I got to deal with her. I'll get back to you in 5. It's not like that. It's like God has tunnel vision. When we pray to him, that's all he sees is you. And he wants our hearts. It's like your heart's locked. And man, when you get that kind of relationship, that love relationship with God, it's like, man, it makes life sing. So that when we have a need, when we have, or just to praise him, it's just like so wonderful when good things happen. It's like he's the first person. God, thanks. We had the stupid thing with our bed, which was a long story, but we had our bed replaced, and we had it for 9.5 years. The warranty was 10 years. And this is just like one of the things that happened. It was so cool. And so of course we found the warranty. We called Boscov's. Yes, you can come pick out another bed. So we pick out a new bed. first night sleeping on that bed, I hated it. My back, I felt like somebody broke my back. I was like, Sid, we made a mistake. And so anyway, I called Boscov's, you know, and there is no, when you have a bed, something replaced like that, there is no exchange or, oh, whoops, I made a mistake. But I called. My daughter-in-law said, Stella, you're a fighter. I can't believe you're just going to accept. I was, yes. So I went to God. I said, okay, I hate this bed. Called Boscov's, and the girl says, well, you know, we usually don't do that. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever known anybody to get their bed replaced? And she said, well, yeah. I said, great. I said, you write the report. I'm going to God. I'm going to pray. And he's going to get us this new bed. Well, she started laughing. I said, the three of us. I said, watch this happen. She called me the end of the weekend and she said, guess what? You can go get another bed. And we have it. And I love it. But, you know, it's even, you know, how foolish were we? It was like an impulse. Okay, let's just get that. In my defense, we had our grandkids that weekend and they were jumping from bed to bed to bed. Okay. Okay. And the more we pray and build our relationship with him and understand the love he has for us, the more confidence and trust we have in him, you know, because that's how we build relationships. You know, we talk things over and you get to see somebody's heart and then you trust them. And because you're not going to trust somebody you don't know, but the more you build that heart relationship with them, man, it's like he says something. It's like, okay, let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 6, it says, but without faith or believing, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. We got to believe he's God. We're not just when we talk, we're just not talking into the air. And do you find yourself sometimes when you're praying that it's like then your mind goes here and your mind goes there? And, you know, we got to focus. We have to stay our minds on him. We got to believe that he's there and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He rewards us when we seek him. He's going to talk to us. He's going to show us great things. It's just such a great way to live. And so it's building that relationship with him. And let's turn to Psalm 27. Verse 7, it says, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Seek his face. It's not like he's not all the way over here. It's not somebody you got to go find. It's not, you don't have to say the right words. You don't have to, you know, oh, God, I got to pray to God because I have this need. It's just like, guess what, Father? You know, this really hurt my feelings. I'm having trouble with my finances. You know, my marriage isn't the way I want it to be. You know, whether, you know, it's a broken arm or a broken heart, it's the same to him. He doesn't care. But he's through prayer and having that relationship, he shows us his love for us. Turn to Psalm 108. First one, it says, oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. This is David. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great from the heavens and thy truth reacheth unto the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above all the earth, that thy beloved, we're God's beloved, may be delivered. Save with thy right hand and answer me. See, that's God's heart. He wants to deliver us. He wants to take care of us. And it's so important. Jesus Christ got up early in the morning, it says, and he prayed. If he thought it was important enough to pray to God without any distractions, what about us? What could you think about it? Just stop and think about this for a minute. What could be more important than talking to God first thing in the morning? We have our lists, our to-do lists. Don't you wake up some mornings and you think about all the things you have to do? You have the errands, you have this problem you have to take care of, whatever. I got a doctor, so I got this, I got that. And you have all this stuff in your brain. But to get in the habit of just like pushing it all away, it's just my God and I, my God and I. What a wonderful way to see God's heart and love for us. And then we have that confidence and trust in him. And the second way we get to know God is through his word. Okay, turn to Proverbs chapter 4. This is another way we get to see his heart, because this is his heartbeat. This is his word he gave us so that we would know him. Chapter 4, verse 20, it says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So, to know God's heart, to see what his will is for us, you know, you think about these verses, you know, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but power and of love and a sound mind. That's how we know he doesn't want us to be fearful. How do we know he'll always be there? He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Now, if you never read those words, you're never going to get blessed by him. You don't have anything to believe. See? And it says, and you know, not only are we supposed to read them, but we're supposed to have them in our heart, where it's just not head knowledge and just not saying, you know, there's a lot of people that can just rattle off verses. I'm not one of them. You know, I'm just not. But it's, God looks on the heart. It's like what we have in our heart. Even if you just believed one verse with all your heart, that's what he cares about. It's the heart he cares about. It's not the outward flesh. It's not, we're never, ever going to be good enough to deserve God's love, ever. But he tells us he loves us, and you know what believing is? Accepting what God says. Just accepting it. Okay, God, I believe it. That's accepting it. Let's look at Psalm 107. Verse 17, it says, fools because of their transgressions. We're all fools at times, right? And because of their iniquities are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Sometimes we just cause our own problems. You know, we don't eat right, we don't get enough sleep, and we'll get sick, and things happen, and, you know, God doesn't, mercy is the most wonderful word. Oh my gosh, if anybody that knows me knows, I love that word. Because it's not just not getting what you deserve, we all make mistakes, we all screw up. Nobody's perfect, and God knows that. And yet, when we make a mistake, and you did it, you knew you shouldn't have done it, and you did it anyway, it's like, okay, I'm going to rescue. It's like he throws that life preserver out. Here you go. He grabs us. And not only does he not give us what we deserve because we didn't listen to him, but he sets us on high and he delivers us. That's his heart. That's who he is. That's what mercy is. It is so cool. And one of the ways he says he cried unto the Lord in their trouble and he saved them out of their distresses. He wants to save us. He wants to rescue us. He sent his word and it healed them and delivered them from their destructions. So that when you read, I wish above all things that you prosper. Okay? So you have that word, that promise in God's word. He doesn't want you to struggle financially. Oh, great. I see that. Okay. I can accept that because you say it. See? Believing, just accepting what he says. Okay. And believing is expecting God to do his will. Because not only is he able, but he's willing. He's got such a willing heart. Like, yes, come on, let's do this. Let's go to Mark chapter 11. One of the ways that God really blessed me since he's here is that Johnny needed an apartment and we were praying for an apartment for him. And I've never had a child live on their own. This is the first time one of my kids is going to have an apartment and he's going to live alone. So I was like on my knees. I was like, okay, this is, has to be. I mean, he's living in Jersey City, you know, in my defense. You know, what good comes out of Jersey City except for John Wayne? But anyway, so I'm thinking, you know, I go, you know, and so as I'm praying, I've never been there, but I can only picture, you know, this rough kind of place. So it's right near New York. How good could it be? So anyway, the first, he says, okay. So anyway, so he puts, he gets this one apartment. He applies to his apartment. He didn't get it. The second one, he puts even a deposit on it. He didn't get that one. I said, okay, well, God's closing the door for some reason. The third one he gets is the one he has now. And it's the cheapest out of all three. So I went there last Sunday and I was driving through the neighborhoods and I'm like, oh Lord, where is he? Look at this place. You know, it was a slummy. I was like, oh, this is where my kid lives. And so then the closer I'd get, the nicer it'd get. And then we get to his street. I look up, I see the name of the street, and I see this street with trees and just the sweetest little street. And I cried. I was like, you did that. You did that. So that I could have peace. Screw him. No. But he, I don't know who did the believing, but no. But I was just so thrilled that when I saw it, I was like, yes. Thank you so much. And he's got the sweetest little apartment. It's great. But it's just, that's how easy life should be. And when we don't do this, don't you want to just kick yourself? That's why it's so important to talk to God, have that relationship with him and read his word. So we understand what his word is. Okay. No doubt, that's a weird way of saying it, comes from confidence and trust in God that he is willing and able to deliver us. He wants us to be confident in his love. He gave us the most precious thing that he had. And we're going to look at one of the ways that God showed us that great love and concern he has for us. In Isaiah, of course, 53, we're going to go. Did I? Oh, I forgot Mark. Oh, crap. Mark 11. Let's go back there. Verse 23. Are you still there? Don't move. For verily, verily, I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith will come to pass. Just accepting it and knowing that he's going to do it. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you shall receive them, and you shall have them. If God says it in his word, is as good as gold. You know you can trust and rely on this word that God, he said that, so we can rely, we can claim it, we can trust it. Okay, now we're going to go to Isaiah. Thank you, Sid. We're here, when we read this, we not only see what Jesus Christ went through, but we get to see how big God's heart is for us. In verse 1, it says, Who hath believed our report? And to, oh, one, one. Oh, chapter 53. Didn't I say that before?
No.
Oh, come on. I'm sure I did. Thank you, Michelle. She was paying attention. It was before I forgot, Mark. 53 verse 1. Everybody there? Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For this is a prophecy, of course, of Jesus Christ. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire of him. Meaning that, you know, Jesus Christ was beaten beyond recognition as a man. It was just brutal. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as was our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet did we esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisements of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. We are healed. See, and when we read that, we already have been healed. It's already done. Jesus Christ did it, and God gave the most precious thing he could possibly give us to show us his love. And had him tortured and beaten, and God saw that. He watched that. He watched his son go through that. Why? Because he loved us so much. He wanted us as sons. He wanted us. And Jesus Christ had to pay the price to get us back. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. It pleased God. God allowed this to happen. He allowed this for you and me. He allowed for his son, his only son, to go through all of this torture, all this anguish, all that he went through for us. That's who he went. It was just to show us. He showed us his love. What greater act of love? You know, Jesus Christ, or God rather, one of God's redemptive names is Jehovah Rapha, which is, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And when it talks about, you know, the sin offering, you know, the goat, in the Old Testament, God told Aaron, you know, on the Day of Atonement to put the sins of the people onto a goat, and they would send the goat. He was the sin offering, and they would send it out in a place that wasn't inhabited so that it would be gone. It would never return. Jesus Christ was our scapegoat. He took everything, every sickness, every sin, everything that we ever will ever go through in life, and he nailed it to his cross. It was done. He was our sin offering. You know, we don't have to. We can stand before God righteous. There is no sense of sin, doubt, or condemnation. Jesus Christ did that for us. The ability to stand before God righteous. There is no more sin. God looks upon us and all he sees is a great kid. Man, I love you. I love you, man. Yeah, but God, I did this. La, la, la. I can't hear you. I can't hear it. And you're going, yeah, but I love you anyway. Nothing will ever separate us from God's love. Nothing we ever will do. Isn't that crazy? As stupid as we are and as stupid as we get sometimes, nothing's ever going to separate us from that love. Look what it cost him. Verse 11, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. You know, in Philippians, it says that Jesus Christ humbled himself and was obedient to the cross. He emptied himself totally. You can't give any more than your life. You know, he was beaten. He was all that he went through. But then he gave his life. There's no more to give. When you give your life, there's no more. That's what Jesus Christ did, our brother. You know, what a package. We have God and we have his son, Jesus Christ. We've got God in that relationship that we have with him and just that love relationship and our brother, Jesus Christ, and just so appreciating what he did, you know, and looking at him, and he's always making, he says he always forever making intercession for us because he knows we need it. You know, he didn't stop. He's still working on our behalf. Matthew chapter 8. Verse 17, it says, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. He's already done. This is what Jesus Christ did. It's accepting what God says his son did for us. John chapter 19. Verse 30, it says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He said it was finished. It was a cry of victory. It's done. Kids, guess what? It's done. It's done. Everything that you needed. I took it, all those fears and worries and anxieties and, you know, the loneliness and the heartache and all the crap that we go through. God had his son die and Jesus Christ took it to the cross. It's done. It's a finished deal. We just have to accept it. He said it was a cry of victory. It's finished. Everything I needed accomplished for you guys, I did it. Look at Matthew 28. Verse 1, it says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. He is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there you shall see him, for lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly, and they started running. And they, can you imagine how excited they were? Oh my gosh, we heard he told us he was going to get up, and he did it. Jesus Christ raised from the dead. He is risen. Now, I'll try to say it without crying, because this is something really tender to my heart. But my mom, every Easter morning, you know, our Easter baskets would be laid out, you know, we'd run down the steps and, you know, we'd grab all the candy and everything. And my mom would walk down the steps and she'd get us by ourselves and she would say, Vesuego, Alleluia.
which means he is risen. Alleluia. That was the first thing in her mind. She came down those steps and that's what she wanted us to know. And when, you know, during Lent, she would take us, it was called the Stations of the Cross. I don't know if those of you who are Catholic know. And it would just, it was a stained glass window and it would be lined up like this. And you would go to each one and it would talk, the priest would talk about Jesus Christ, that he was beaten. And then he had the crown of thorns. And I would see my mom's face. It wasn't like, oh, you know, like an emotional kind of thing. It was just an appreciation of what Jesus Christ did for us. And she would look at me and she'd say, this is what he did for you. And it's remembering what Jesus Christ, that's what communion's all about, is remembering what his body represented and his shed blood. 1 John, we won't have to turn there, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. That's the love that God had for us. He rose from the dead, so now that we could be God's children and we can claim every promise in his word. And when he says, by his stripes, you were healed, we can bank on it. We can take it and we can believe it. We can accept it with everything in us because he says it. He says it. And he's good at his word. So I just wanted to close with telling you something that really, this is what got me on this thing where I am just like flying high. I was talking to, you know that Tanya's brother was in the hospital. We all got the email to pray that her brother was near to death. So we prayed. And maybe 3 days later, I saw her at a fellowship. And I said, Tanya, how's your brother? She said, he's on life support. He's not going to make it. And she said, 2 nights I spent at the hospital. And she said, you know, and I realized it's a waste. He's just a vegetable. You know, and I said to my sister-in-law, you need to put him on, you need to pull the plug. You know, he's on life support. He's never going to wake up. And so I told her, I said, well, you know, we'll pray for you. Well, a week later was the day in the Word, and I saw her, and I said, because I hadn't heard anything, it was kind of strange. I said, Tanya, how's your brother? She said, he's home. I said, what? She said, he's home. She goes, I told him he better get his freaking act together. I was like, what? Now, her brother's an alcoholic. He caused that. Whatever, I know no details. I never ask. He's diabetes, whatever. I know. Okay, thanks, Ed. I don't usually ask. I don't care, you know, what those things are. But when I said to her, it's a miracle. He was on life support. He was supposed to die. She says, I kept telling my sister, she goes, can you believe it? I kept telling her to pull the plug. She says, and he's home. I don't know him. I don't know what kind of believing he has. But you see the power of prayer, community believing. We put that on that prayer request line. I prayed. I know you did. Look what God did for this guy. And to her, he's kind of like a loser, kind of, you know, it's like, God, that's mercy. He didn't care. He caused it himself. Okay, he's got diabetes. He shouldn't have been drinking all this. God delivered him. And when I heard that, man, that did something to my heart. And I just thought, wow, God could do that for that guy. What can he do for me in my life when I trust and believe his word? So when Jesus Christ says, so when we have communion, you think about when we take that bread, Jesus Christ broke, his body was broken. He went through all of that so that we could be whole. And he shed his blood so that we could have remission of sins. He wiped away our sin. There's no consciousness of sin. We're, you know, we stand before God pure as snow, righteous in his eyes. He looks at us and he doesn't see the crap that everybody else sees. He sees his child. He sees his kid. It's like when your kid, no matter what they ever do, you will love them with that unconditional love, no matter what they ever do, because you know what? That's my kid. And when God looks at us, that's what he sees. You're my kid. I don't care. But I did, blah, blah, blah. He's got his hands like this over his ears. He doesn't want to hear about how horrible you are. And sometimes that's why we can't accept God's love and God's deliverance, because of that
that condemnation that we have, just got to put it aside and let this be the day where we stand up and say, you know what, God, I believe you. I don't care what I've ever done. Your forgiveness, your healing, it's all there for me. So Sid and I are going to, we're going to do the communion now. So you don't have to go there. You can put your Bibles down. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is where Jesus Christ tells us how he wanted this done, that he wanted us to remember what it was that he went through and what he accomplished for us through his death and resurrection. Yeah. Oh, okay. So I love you.